POTUS again surprised us by withdrawing the threat of tariffs, at least temporarily, against Mexico on Friday evening, June 7th. The puzzlement of the weekend, it was disclosed, is that this agreement had been made many months ago and raised questions about whether or not POTUS created a crisis in order to appear to have solved it. It is highly unlikely that POTUS will be satisfied with whatever action Mexico takes, so this will be an ongoing saga. Speaking of the migrants, there are now reports that Central Americans are looking to Europe as it is both a safer trip and potentially more welcoming. I came across a map recently which shows the sources of imports and exports by country. One might expect a significant number of states receive the greatest dollar value of imports from China. While I suspect there will be some surprise to many that the country with the most states exporting to it is Canada, while for four states, China is the country with whom they do the most business. For Mexico, it is six states, Brazil and the UK, one each, and the balance Canada. So if you're looking for free and fair trade, I suggest you look to Canada. The USMCA now has the backing of most Republicans in the House and the Senate based upon the removal of the most recent tariff threat against Mexico. Democrats, on the other hand, are awaiting Mexico's passage of labor reforms, including votes for union representation with a closed ballot, along with a resolution of other doubts about the agreement. Mrs. Pelosi remains the linchpin in this process. There must be another piece to this puzzle that we haven't yet seen on the Democratic side. Mr. Trump has decided to double down on his trade war with China as he continues to describe tariffs as a beautiful thing. The Chinese, of course, are reciprocating in a variety of ways, including clamping down on technology transfers. Mr. Trump also continues to hold a position that these tariffs are not having an adverse impact on the American economy, including consumers and ag, since the Chinese are paying the tariffs. As prices are likely to rise in the near term, the latter statements by Mr. Trump may well be tested, not just in the news media, but by consumers and in particular by farmers. Mr. Trump bragged about his Mexico deal on June 11th in a briefing with reporters. He claims that he has a bigger deal than announced last weekend in his coat pocket. Literally. The Mexican president indicates the only deal is what was announced last weekend. In effect, the deal is a 90-day deal with two 45-day elements, with Mexico needing to meet certain criteria at the end of each of those elements to stave off the tariffs. It's hard to imagine, irrespective of what resources Mexico deploys, that will be able to significantly stem the tide of people seeking asylum, and maybe more importantly, to satisfy Mr. Trump, who always moves the goalpost. Larry Kudlow, President Trump's top economic advisor, told reporters on June 12th that the USMCA is more important than a deal with China. Certainly, the combined trade numbers would support that statement between the three member states of the USMCA. However, it's important to remember that China has two threats that could make the comparison between the USMCA and China shift in favor of China. The first, of course, is the significant amount of U.S. treasuries which they hold, close to $1 trillion, as well as their control of rare earth metals. Each of these issues needs to be weighed carefully, and my concern, of course, is that such a process will be avoided by the administration. Mr. Mulvaney, the president's chief of staff, says he sees a better than two-thirds chance that the USMCA will pass Congress. We haven't yet heard from the speaker, and she holds the votes. On June 14th, the Wall Street Journal published an article about the debt and the deficit. The picture in the article was of Bill Clinton and Al Gore in 1999, showing that the federal budget deficit was $0 and the debt had been reduced to virtually zero. These were Democrats. The position taken in Washington now is that debt and deficits no longer matter. This is certainly a reversal of Republican ideology, and I wonder if President Trump loses in 2020, will that ideology return with a vengeance as it did during the Obama administration when Republicans railed against the debt and the deficit? My guess, the real question is, what ideology?